Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. 1 year at youth camp when I was about 15, 16 years old, our youth pastor started the evening devotions by playing a game with us. He and the other counselors had thought about each of us and had come up with a fact or a trait we had, a word picture, and as he described or told the fact, we were to guess who it was. As we start preparing for revival, we're going to look at the seven churches in Revelation. Word pictures are given of each, descriptions, traits, things they did or did not do. What I want for us to do as we look at these churches is ask ourselves some questions. Are we like that? Is that description true of us? If so, how should we react? Are we what God intends for us to be? As the picture of a faithful church is given, are we faithful? A faithful, pleasing church? We're going to start there in Revelation chapter 2 with Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. Let's read chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who called themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." A word picture. A word picture. The picture of the church begins with what God thinks is commendable. Jesus said he knows the church, and he knows you. Well, how does he know? Revelation 1:20 plainly says the lampstands are the churches, and he walks among the churches, among the lampstands. He's here with us. He knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So he begins with what is commendable. He said, I know your deeds. I know your toil. I know your perseverance. He knew what they had done in service to the Lord, how they had been tireless. Now, that's a word that we don't often want to really employ, is it? Tireless. We get tired. We've come up with this phrase in the last few years that we're burned out. One of the things that I wish they would come up with is the possibility of time travel. I wonder what it was like when people came to this part of the world 250, 300 years ago. And they found very little in terms of something to eat. And so they began farming. They began clearing land. They began doing all this stuff that you and I would say, I just can't handle that anymore. If I don't have a big tractor, I'm just not going to do it. And we say that we're burned out. The church here had perseverance. They had many things to commend them. He knew what they had done. Jesus knew that they had some discernment about them, too. Not only were they willing to work, they had some discernment. They had some spiritual awareness about them. Evidently, they held the sound doctrine. That they were doing what God had told them to do. They could spot evil men, those claiming to be apostles. And when someone came to them and said, I'm an apostle, they would listen to them and say, that either does or does not line up with what we know to be true. And then it goes on, it says that they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And the Nicolaitans were more concerned with pleasures and what they could get by with instead of pursuing God and pursuing Christ. Specifically, they were caught up in the eating of meats previously offered to idols and fornication, sexual practice outside of marriage. And Jesus says to them, I know you. And I know you can't put up with people like that. There was much good about the church. When I went to work for Walmart in the early 1980s, one of the stores I worked at was in a suburb of on the south side of Tulsa. Well, in that area, there was an older gentleman that looked just like Sam Walton. Now, Sam Walton at that point was very much involved in the stores, very much involved. And so his picture was in a lot of publications that we had there at the store, and first one thing. So I knew what Mr. Walton looked like, and I knew what this gentleman looked like. And one night, the first time I ever saw this gentleman in the area, I was walking up towards the front of the store, and I just caught a glimpse of him, and I thought it was Sam Walton. My heart nearly stopped. The owner, whatever his title was, he was the man. And I thought he had come into the store. Well, about, I don't know, a few months later, Mr. Walton did come in. And we had everything just the way it was supposed to be because we wanted to please him. This morning, as we think about the church, are we a faithful, pleasing church? I'm not talking about the churches down the streets or down this street or wherever. We're talking about this body of Christ. Are we a pleasing church? Who are you trying to please? Who are we as a church trying to please? Jesus knows how we are. Jesus knows how you are. Because he walks among us. He knows us. He walks among the lampstands. He knows us. Would Jesus commend us for our service, our toil, our perseverance? Or would he say that maybe you've lost your sense of urgency? Are we really worrying about reaching lost people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? The good news because of our choices that we are separated from God, but Jesus came to rescue us, would he say that we are about that? Would he say that we're discerning? That we're able to spot false teaching? All of this is a picture of the church. The picture of the church comes into focus by understanding the corrections needed. Jesus knows the church. There was much good about the church, but Jesus said, I have this against you. I was in a store not long ago where I heard part of the management talking about her district manager, same district manager that we had working for Walmart. The lady said, all they can do is tell us what we were doing wrong. Jesus has commended the church, but he does get to this issue. And it was not a minor matter. In fact, it was the most important thing. He said to the church, you have left your first love. You have left your first love. They had left Jesus. Do you know anybody who says, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I just don't like to go to church? Well, how are they going to be in heaven when all we are together worshiping God? He said, there's a lot about it, you that's good, but there's a lot about you that's not. They had left their first love. They did not love him like they did at first. They apparently did not want to spend time with him, talking with him. We call that prayer. They did not want to listen to what he had to say. I would suggest to you that that's reading the Bible. And so there were corrections needed. Maybe part of the problem is we need to form or reform a right idea about God's greatness. J.I. Packer says the Bible teaches us two steps that we must take. The first is to remove from our thoughts of God limits that would make him small. For instance, let me suggest this to you. You can cut yourself off from your fellow human beings, but you cannot get away from your Creator. If you were doing something and I walked into the room, would you quit? Well, you can get away from me, but you can't get away from him. The second is to compare him with powers and forces which we regard as great. Look at the tasks that God has done. Could you do them? Could any man do them? I think it's Isaiah 40 says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens?" If you were to ask me, "Do you love your wife?" And I said to you, "Well, she cooks well." Yeah. I remember 4 or 5 years ago, we got to go up to somewhere in southwestern Pennsylvania. I got to speak at an Officers Christian Fellowship retreat. There were cadets there from West Point and the Naval Academy. And I used that same question. And I remember looking up across the room, and there was a young lady, and either next standing with her or right behind her was a young man. And the young lady gave me this look like, and the young man began laughing. Now, maybe they were reacting to something else, but I don't think so. Because if I said to you, if you asked me, "Do you love your wife?" and I said to you, "She cooks well," you would think that I did not love her. Maybe I just appreciated what she could do for me, kind of like a maid. And what Jesus is getting at here is, do you love me? Do you love me? And that's what he said, that you have left your first love. So are we a faithful, pleasing church? Have we left our first love? Have you left your first love? Have you let the fire of your love for Christ die out? Do you want to spend time with him in prayer? Do you want to hear what he has to say to you so you read his word daily? What is your thinking about who God is? You know, it's always amazed me how we edit things. "Well, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe the Bible was God's word." Are you saying to me that the eternal God, the one who spoke everything into existence, could not see to get to us what he intended to get to us? "Well, I don't think that. I just think that's man's opinion." Again, do you? And the question I always want to ask people is, do you think you're going to go to heaven? "Well, yes, I'm going to go to heaven." Well, how do you make that? Because if God is not who he says he is in all of Scripture, then who are you to edit the parts that you want to hear and edit out the parts that you don't want to hear? Do we really love him? Do we really love him? Does our thinking line up with Scripture or the culture? And the culture is changing, is it not? So what corrections need to be made here with us? And this is more of the picture of the church. As the picture comes into focus, the course of correction becomes clear. Jesus knows the church. The first step back is to remember from where you have fallen. From where you have fallen. Remember how the relationship with Jesus used to be. Do the things that you did at first. He says, repent, change your direction, turn around, change your course, and then do the things that you did at first. Instead of going away from Jesus, let pursuing him be about what your life is about. Pray, read, study, be accountable to someone else about your life. Instead of waiting for people to come to us and ask about Jesus, we need to be going to them. We need to proclaim the gospel. Worship is not about us. Have you figured that out? Worship is about Him. And we proclaim the gospel. We're not to be a social club, even though that's part of it. We're to be about proclaiming the gospel. Blake stole my thunder. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5? You're the light of the world. You don't hide a candle, a lampstand. You put it on a lampstand. John chapter 8 said, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So if we don't make proclaiming the gospel the main reason for our being, the warning is Jesus will come and remove the lampstand. The church will cease to exist. Every one of us traveling to church this morning did this one same task. We all corrected our course. For some of you came up to a corner and you turned. For some of you, I don't know that any of us didn't turn a corner to get here, but maybe one of us did. But even as you drive down the road, you're always correcting the course, are you not? What course correction does this church need to make? What course correction do you need to make? Are the corrections needed in this church clear? Are the corrections needed in your life clear? Someone asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, or asked him a question, and he asked the man, what's the greatest commandment, first greatest commandment? He said, love the God, Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. We're to express love for Jesus through obedience. Do not love the world or the things of the world. And spend time with Him. Be with Him. Do what pleases Him. Tell everyone about Him. Do you need to repent this day? Does this church need to repent? July 31st, we will begin revival. Will it be revival or will it be a series of meetings? As we have looked at the church in Ephesus, do we see ourselves in them? Let me ask again the questions I started with. Are we like that? Talking about Ephesus? Is that description true of us? If so, how should we react? Are we what God intends for us to be? As the picture of a faithful church is given, are we a faithful, pleasing church?